Just a little bit? Okay. We're good? All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are officially in week 3. And the fact that you guys made it back means that you are serious. It means that you mean business. Because many people nowadays, they get really excited. They want to learn all about a powerful prayer life, and they really want to know what it looks like. But when it comes to this part of our prayer life, it seems that nobody wants to go through that because it's painful. It is painful to go through a breaking stage in our life, which we're going to talk about tonight. But it's necessary. It's necessary to let God take us to that place where only He can. Because then, and only then, He begins to open the floodgates of heaven in our heart. He begins the purging and the pruning and everything else that He has for us so that we can be fully open and ready to experience radical revival in our hearts through prayer and in our relationship with God. But I want us all to be encouraged tonight that with God, all things are possible. Say it with me. With God, all things are possible. Listen, God does not set us up to fail. He sets us up to trust. That's what He does. He doesn't set us up to fail. He sets us up to trust Him. That is why He pushes us, so that as we take one step toward Him, He takes another one towards us. And that's what it means in James 4:8. We draw near to Him, and He draws near to us. Amen? Let's just bow our heads for a moment of reverence before God and take a few moments just to pray and get ready for what God has tonight. Amen? Lord God, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You and You alone are the one who can truly dig deep inside of our hearts. You are the one who can truly change us from the inside out. You are the one who can take us to that place, to that breaking point where we need to be, so that You, oh God, can be fully manifested in us and through us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that as we begin to decrease, You would begin to increase more and more in our life, Lord. And I'm asking, Lord, as so many of us, if not all of us, are asking here tonight, do what You've got to do in our life, oh God, but don't leave us the same. We cannot remain the same, Lord. Help us, oh God. We are dependent completely and utterly upon You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, I don't think we're ever fully ready. I don't think we can ever say we get to that point where we got this, where we're ready as a Christian, as anything. But God, in His amazing, radical grace, comes in with a divine encounter and completely interrupts our life. And He begins to change us from the inside out. And after that, the rest is over. Because we get to that point where we said, Lord, enough of us. I've had enough of myself. And I'm asking, Lord, that You would take me to the end of myself so that You can come in and have free reign and full, complete control in every area of my life, every area. So if you were here last week, we talked about worship, and we talked what it meant to have a life of true worship. Do you remember? There were some things that God put in my heart that were not in the book. But I just had to say it because it was something that God had taken me through, and it's something that God continues to reveal to my heart. But true worship begins with a right heart, a right spirit toward God. He is looking at the condition of our heart. He is looking for us to approach Him with a right heart and a spirit of reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. We are approaching a holy God who deserves nothing less. Yes, He is our Father, and yes, He loves us, but we've got to approach Him with a holy respect, a holy fear that only He alone deserves. And so we learned about some things that happened in the life of the Israelites, and I'm not going to go into that. But never forget that what could have taken them a short time to their destiny in their walk with God took them 40 years, and as a result, they were never able to enter His rest. And so now we're in week 3, and we are examining the second key area of a powerful prayer life. And this area of prayer is key. It is absolutely key to unlocking the door to dynamic petition and intercession, which we're going to cover next week. It is absolutely key. We cannot bypass this area, and we're talking tonight about coming clean before God. And we're dealing with the subject of repentance. It is a subject that we cannot avoid. It is a subject that cannot be swept under the rug. It is a subject that needs to be examined and fully dissected in the life of a Christian. And so we're going to get into some details tonight, and most of this is in your book, but I want you guys to listen. I want you guys to have a paper and pen and take some notes, specifically some of the things that God is going to begin to deal with your heart about. Now, I like to be vulnerable and transparent because I don't want you to ever think that I've arrived or that I've come to a place where I know it all or where I'm just, you know, completely right and everything in my life is good. That would be a lie. As a matter of fact, the closer I draw near to God, the more worthless I seem because I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And I used to say that I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. But you know what God showed me this morning? He said, Laura, you're not even close. You're not even close to where I want you to be. And I had to come to the conclusion that He's right. I mean, He's always right, but I had to come to that conclusion for myself. I'm not even close to where I want to be. And so God has to continuously deal with my heart about areas that He won't let me just let go of. And I thank Him. You know why? Because I ask Him for that. I purposely and intentionally ask Him to never let me go in this area of repentance, to always get me to that breaking point where I can get on my knees and say, Lord, I can't, but You can. I can't change me, but You can. And it is God alone who produces the change. That is why we can never get away from this area of prayer in our life. We cannot just think that coming to church is going to change us. We cannot just assume that coming to Thursday night Bible study is going to change us. There has got to be an action step on our part where we come to God and say, Lord, here I am. Do what you've got to do, but do it now. Do it now. That's got to be our prayer. That's got to be our prayer. I don't know about you, but for many years, maybe 20 years of my walk with God, it seemed that there was this huge disconnect in my prayer life. There was this huge disconnect. I would ask for this and that, but nothing. And I would come back and ask again, nothing. No response. It was like I wasn't hearing anything. There was something that was hindering the prayers from my room going to the throne room. I don't know why, but I felt like it wasn't reaching that point, like it was just coming to the ceiling level and it wasn't going any farther. And I was so frustrated. I was discouraged. Now, I don't know if you guys had that feeling, but I know what that feels like. I pray and I pray and I pray and I wonder, God, what's happening? How come I can't hear? How come I'm not getting a response from you? Where is this disconnect? What is this roadblock, invisible roadblock that seems to be in the way? I didn't understand. But like most of us, we do want our prayers to be heard, and we want our prayers to be answered, especially when they're the urgent matter, the urgent kind. We never want to think that God doesn't hear and doesn't want to answer. Like that would hurt so bad. That he won't hear and that he won't answer. Not knowing that, however, is worse than knowing that. Because at least before I would not really know where I was on that level, on that scale. Like, God, am I almost there? Like, it's just maybe two more prayers and I you got it. You know, am I almost there? I would think to my mind, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. Like, how many more times do I need to get on my knees? Like, is it two more kneels? You know? I don't know. I was just wrestling with this thought and this life of prayer for years. I didn't understand what it was all about. But I thank God. I thank God that one day, one morning, one early morning, I received the answer to my problem. And God didn't unfold it all for me that day. But you know what he said? He said a few simple words that I later found in Scripture. Jeremiah 29:13. He said, when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. All of it. He was looking for my heart. Because he was looking for a heart-to-heart conversation. All I was having was a hand-to-hand conversation. I was coming at him asking for what was in his hand, not what was in his heart. And I was saying, give me, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. When you seek me, you will find me. But you got to search for me. Did you catch that? He said, me, not that, not this, me, with all of your heart. And he began to reveal to me how he cared more about the condition of my heart than the needs of my heart. He wanted to know what my condition was in my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know what that looks like to seek you with my heart. I really don't. But I'm willing to take a step of faith and to meet you in that prayer closet. and ask you to help me. And you know what? It was a step of faith. I had to take one step and say, Lord, I'm new at this. I don't know if I was just stubborn and I didn't pick it up in church, but I just never really got it. But I'm ready to get it now. And so he began to unfold and unveil and reveal who he was to me according to his word. And I began to see the mirror of my self-centered, self-focused, and selfish prayers that were not at all God-focused or God-centered. And he began to take me through the refining fire. And I never really understood what that was all about, the purging, the pruning. I heard about it, I read about it, but I didn't really know what it felt like and what it really looked like. I just knew when I was in trouble because I did something wrong. And he would let me know about it. Somebody would let me know about it. But you know when it really became dangerous? It became dangerous when I got to that point of asking God on a regular basis, Lord, I know that it's going to hurt, but I want to hear it. I've just got to hear it, Lord. I want to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want to know, Lord, what do you see in my life? I need to know. And God being very faithful to his word. And this being a desire of God's heart to get me to this place. Oh, he answered my prayer. He began to answer my prayer, and he began to show me the things that were in my life that were not pleasing in his sight. And it wasn't because he wanted me to feel this pain of this process, but it was because he wanted me to walk in truth. He wanted me to walk in truth and see the truth so that the truth could set me free. Because the truth removes burdens. The truth breaks strongholds. And the truth shows us our true condition. And I got to this place where I began to say, Lord, show me. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're not even going to be that long tonight. We're not going to be that long tonight, but I do want to lay a few things down so you have some ideas of what we're talking about when we're talking about that word repentance. What does it mean to repent? That word means to turn. It means to turn. Some scholars say it means to turn one's mind. I've read some biblical translations that say turn from sin. But you know, the truth is that when we truly repent, change will be the result. We will truly turn our life and change will be the result. It will be the fruit of that repentance. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we are to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Worthy of repentance. Matthew 3:8 says, prove by the way that you live that you have repented from your sins and turned to God. You see, it's more than just a verbal acknowledgement of coming to God and say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin before you. But we've got to take the next step, which is called the action step. And we've got to actually be willing to say, Lord, I lay it down and I'm not picking it back up. And by your great grace, your mercy and your strength, you will help me to change and turn completely away from that sin. Did you notice grace? Did you notice mercy and strength? I realize that I don't have the power to stop sinning. Right off the bat, I know I don't. There is no way that I, in my own strength, self-will, self-confidence, whatever, baloney, I have no power to do it. I'm sorry, I don't like that word, self-confidence. I don't have confidence in myself. I only have confidence in him. Because left to my own devices, I'll mess everything up. Can you say that again? There you go. I say, Lord, just about every single morning, I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord, and help me do what I cannot do. I've got to be at the foot of the cross day in and day out. Lord, have mercy again. Have mercy again. Let your great grace come down upon me yet again, because I can't do it, God. Are you beginning to realize why we have got to make this area of prayer a priority, a consistent practice in our life? Consistent. What our fruit looks like outwardly demonstrates what is inside of our heart. That is the evidence. Does anybody know about court? They are always looking for the evidence, and the evidence always points to the proof. What is the fruit in our life? We cannot say that we are the kindest person if we're mean to people. I'm sorry. We cannot say that we are walking in every fruit of the Spirit, that we're patient when we can't wait patiently at a stop sign, or for our kids to get dressed when we're going to church. Somebody help me. I say, Lord, help me right now in this second, because I'll be worshiping you in about 20 minutes, Lord, and these kids are not helping. We all have our own situations and struggles and our weaknesses. And you know what? I had to come to the point, and I actually did this last year, and I'll get to this in week 6. But I actually took out a strategy book, and I said, aha, this is my weak point. And this is where the enemy's going to come at me from, right here. But here's what the Word of God says. Okay, I'm ready. It says strategy on the outside. I know my weaknesses. I just got to update it, and I got to go back to it. But I got to remind myself all the time, because I know that my potential to fall is very easy to do. Very easy to do. And so this key area of prayer is what gives us the space and the place to repent and to remove all that rubbish and that stuff that has been suppressed and buried underneath our heart, underneath the surface level that we will never get to or address if we don't allow God the time to do it. And so that's what we're going to be talking about briefly. Now I want to put up the next slide, because this is where my answer came. Sin hinders our ability to pray. And that's the truth. as you can see in the scriptures, it's not that God doesn't want to answer us, but it's this thing called sin that separates us and our prayers from getting answered. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear. I know we love the Psalms because they're beautiful and they contain a lot of good promises. But we can't skimp on the ones that don't feel good. That's the truth. We cannot bypass and we cannot pick and choose. This is not a buffet. Have it your way. I'm sorry. We've got to let God reveal to us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so God deals with us in this area of sin that cannot be bypassed or sugarcoated, like so many people seem to think nowadays, because God's grace is never a license to sin, by the way. Never. But there are some areas in our life, we're going to take just a quick pause break, some categories of sin that I want us to look at, and we're going to go through those very briefly. But we're going to just take a two-minute pause break, just two. And this is going to be the only one, so I want to make sure that everybody has a paper and a pen and that you take just 2 minutes to think about something that God spoke to you about, something that you heard, and be real with God. And then write it down. And if it's not too sensitive, share it with the person next to you. Just 2 minutes. All right, 30 seconds. Are you getting something out of this? Are you understanding what it means to get clean before God? To get to that point in our life? That's where God wants us. But there's hope. There is hope. By God's grace, he can take us all through it. So now, what we're going to go through for this next session is going to be 5 categories of potential sin. Because it's important that we don't just take a broad sweep of our life and say, Lord, what about this? Maybe this, maybe this. But it's a good thing to do a thorough examination, right? A thorough examination, because God does not just want a formality and a brief examination. He wants us to take the time and come before Him and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal each and every area of our life that need to be dealt with. Now, let me encourage you with this. He's not going to show you 1,000 things all at once. I mean, you already probably know a lot of things, but He's not going to bring it all to you at once so that it is overwhelming or consuming. He's going to give us enough that we can handle. But He does, when He brings it to us, wants us to handle that area, to examine that area, rather. And these are the five areas we're going to start with. Category number one. And this category has to do with sins of thoughts and attitude. And we got to be real and honest with ourselves, right? Because God already knows it. It's not like we're bringing news to God. He already knows it's there. He just wants us to know that we know. He really does. He wants us to know that He knows. Did you get it? I'm glad somebody got it. It's not new, so don't be afraid. But be real and honest with God. So what is in our thought life? What does it look like? What do we catch ourselves regularly thinking about? Second Corinthians 10:5 says that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means the moment an ungodly thought enters our mind, we are to arrest it. We take it captive. You know what a prisoner is? They're handcuffed. You arrest that thought immediately. You take it captive to the obedience of Christ, and you said, no. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus, and you replace it with a good thought, or you quote a scripture, something in your heart that's dealing with that. And you know what it is, and I know what mine are. And so these are the following questions we should be asking ourselves. Are there unclean or lustful thoughts happening? Over and over. Are there thoughts of anger, bitterness, fear? Right? What about attitudes of pride, prejudice, or entitlement? Huh? Pride. Did you know that pride is so sneaky, most people don't even know they have it? It's so sneaky. We say, oh, I'm good. I don't have pride. Right there. That was it right there. You said you were all good and you didn't have pride. There you go. It is that spirit of pride that knocked Lucifer, aka Satan, out of the throne of heaven. Pride is not something to be ignored. It has no place in the life of a Christian, especially or in addition to ministry, as a pastor, a leader, anything. Pride has no place in any of that. None of the sins do. But pride seems to be the sneaky one, so I'm gonna expose pride. We can never think that we've arrived or we've gotten to a place in our walk with God, or that we're good enough, or that we don't sin enough, sin too much, I should say, or even compare our walk with our brother or sister. We don't compare ourselves to nothing but the Word of God. That is our standard. And that is what God will hold us accountable to. And so we got to do a thorough examination. There's more areas under that category. But as we begin to ask God to reveal these areas in our life, He is faithful and He will reveal it. Category number two. Sins of speech. What comes out of our mouth on a regular basis? What do we catch ourselves saying regularly? In James 3:10, which we learned recently, says that out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It is not okay. Now, the following are some questions that we should be asking ourselves under this category. Now, I don't know who invented the word white lie, but it doesn't exist in the kingdom of God. It does not. There's no white lie. There are black lies. An exaggeration of truth is a lie. And that's the truth. Do we gossip or slander? Do we criticize, just picking apart everything? Thinks it's our God-given duty to just criticize everything that we see wrong as if it's okay to do. It's not. Why? Because it's not under the fruit of the Spirit. And not only that, it is exposed as contentious under the works of darkness. We don't want to be contentious people, criticizing and arguing with people. Do we belittle others? And we're not just talking about our brothers and sisters or our co-workers. What about our kids? Right? They're little people. They're people. Do we belittle them? Or do we curse or use God's name in vain? I don't know about you, but it so gets under my skin when I hear someone use God's name as a curse word. They use those two words as a show of frustration. You know our Lord's name. They get frustrated and upset and they use those two words. It's not okay. We need to think deeply about what's coming out of our mouth and be sensitive to God as He begins to reveal what's coming out of our mouth. And many times, He will even lead us to apologize to people that we have offended with our words. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, but she deserved it. She deserved that tongue lashing. Go. Now. Yes, it hurts. But the moment we step outside of God's character, we are wrong. And we've got to make amends. We've got to make amends. Number three. And I'm going to move on quickly. Category three. Relationship sins. Now, there we have so many relationships in our life. Our husband, our wife, our children, our co-workers, our relatives, friends, all of that. How are we handling those relationships? And so we should be asking ourselves, can we think of people that we may have offended in some manner? And are we holding grudges against people who have offended us? Listen, if you didn't know by now, Unforgiveness is not negotiable. Never was, never will be. It is a spiritual law that God set in motion, beginning with himself when he forgave us, though we did not deserve it. We have got to get to that place where we forgive. And you know how we'll know that we've forgiven? Because we will actually begin to pray for that person, and we will begin to ask God to bless that person, and we will begin to ask God to remove that sting from our heart caused by that person. You know, when I shared my testimony a few weeks ago, I shared how 2 weeks after me entering into the prayer closet, God lifted that burden of depression. But you know what happened during those 2 weeks? That situation that was happening, oh, I was praying for that person, that situation, those people over and over and over. And I said, Lord, bless them even more than you will bless me. And I had to pray that type of prayer because I had to ask God. I said, Lord, I mean it. I don't want to have any feelings, anything like that, any residue in my heart anymore. Take it all of it. And so we got to deal with these areas. And you know what other areas there are that we get involved with? Improper relationships. And some of us don't even get to the point of fornication and adultery. But I tell you what, emotional relationships will eventually lead to physical relationships if it is not dealt with immediately. And not only that, but the things that we see. The things that we see. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, I'll tell you why that's so important. Because we think that what we're being amused by is okay because it's not as bad as the shows we used to watch. We cannot fight evil and be entertained by it at the same time. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. We cannot think it's funny nor amusing that somebody says or does something that is completely contrary to God's word. I'm not going to name shows, but there was a show I was in love with. And when God began to reveal to me what was really going on, I said, Lord, this show doesn't have all this. I got it covered. I got it covered, God. You know, there's no nudity. There's no bad stuff happening. You know, there's no really, you know, cursing and stuff like that. So I thought I had that one, yeah. He began to say, open your eyes. Okay. What do you see? I began to see gossip happening in that show. Manipulation, slander, you name it. There was a list of things. And I said, oh, wow. Okay, God. He said, does that still amuse you? I said, no. That doesn't amuse me anymore. As a matter of fact, Lord, because I was so seemingly in love with that show, so I thought, he had to remove even the desire to not want to watch that show anymore. And it may seem like a little thing, but listen, we are confronted every single day with things on the television, with things on Facebook, with things on the internet, with funny postings that people put. They think it's hilarious. It is not hilarious to God. The things that we repost is not hilarious to God. And I came to a point intentionally that I just will not set my eyes on things that I already know are going to take me, my eyes, to a place I shouldn't be. We got to get radical like that. And so you have some homework to do. But God can make a way. And there's so many more. Category number 4. What we do, and you can read there. the things that we do. And category number 5, sins of omission, the things that we don't do that we should be doing, like not reading our Bible. Did we know that? It's a sin not to. Not praying. And you know what type of praying I'm talking about now. After this class, you cannot say that you didn't know. Sorry to let you know that. Proverbs 28:13 says that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Mercy. Listen, God wants to do so much. He wants to transform us so much. He wants to get us to that point where we are truly changed from the inside out, and we truly have this hunger and this thirst for righteousness. But you are going to have to bow down before him and get on your knees and open your mouth and start asking God for these things on a regular basis. This is where the fervent action has to take place. Fervently. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you know what I began to say? I began to say, Lord, give me a love for the things that you love and a hatred for the things that you hate. Not people, things, evil, the works of darkness. Give me a hatred for that, Lord. I don't want any of it. And God began to mold my heart and shape it, and he's still taking me through this process, but it had to come to that point. We can't sugarcoat it. No more. We can't sugarcoat it. Now, I'm going to end with this, because I have something that I want you guys to pay close attention to. And my brother Rick back there is going to get it ready in just a second. But there was a great revival that took place. It was called the Shantung Revival. It's in your book. Why do I mention this? Because here we had a group of American missionaries fighting the works of darkness, trying to fight for the very souls of people in a very tough area of China. And these were missionaries that gave everything up to go and live there and witness to those people. And they thought they were so ready. And they went and they preached and preached and thought that they had enough praying power. But God began to reveal some things to them. And they began to come together and realize that all was not well. That's right. Missionaries, seasoned missionaries, sacrificial missionaries that went in and gave up mostly everything, if not all of it, to get to this place. But God came in with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we're going to play this for about 3 minutes or so. And then afterward, I want you guys to just be quiet and reflect upon this. And if you feel so led to, we're going to open the altar. And you guys just can come and kneel to the altar and give it all to him. And so with that said,
salt, pepper. Share with us now the story of the greatest revival that's ever come in the history of Christendom, the revival in the Shandong province of China.
Well, in the early 20s, we felt that we were up against an impossible situation. So many difficulties that I can't go into detail in telling. But we had some older missionaries that knew how to pray. And so many of our hearts were turned to God. Some missionaries of other boards decided to go home. There's no hope to do the work, but we decided we'd pray. And as we prayed, began to pray, the Lord seemed to lay on our hearts a deeper hunger for God himself. And we prayed more. And we prayed for 4 years. And as a result of this praying, we got under deep conviction for sin. And the deeper we got under conviction of sin, we had to make restitution and make things right with each other and take out all the sin of our hearts. And there's things in many of our hearts that we didn't know were there, that they just covered up under the rubbish. And so we had to dig out all of the rubbish and pray and continue to pray. There were several people who helped us a great deal. Among those was Miss Marie Munson. She was a Norwegian Lutheran missionary. And one day she asked me, "Brother Culpepper, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I couldn't tell her because I didn't know what it really meant. But from that day, I began searching the Bible. A great hunger for the fullness of the Holy Spirit came upon me. And it took 4 years for me to get all the rubbish and get everything straight with the Lord. And the other missionaries had the same impression and same feeling. And so the Lord worked with all of us missionaries in the North China Mission at that time, about 50 of us. And so the Lord worked through Miss Munson and others of a very sensitive nature. And as a result, we became obsessed with the idea that we had to meet God. And sometimes we would pray for an hour or 2 hours, and sometimes a few times we prayed all night. And finally, as we prayed, it came, Miss Munson, we invited her to come back and go through the mission, and she told me, said, "Brother Culpepper, a great revival is coming, and it's going to begin with the North China Mission." And I said, "Why do you say that, Miss Munson?" She says, "Because God has a covenant in His Word that has never been broken since the time He gave it to Solomon." And she repeated 2 Chronicles 7:14. She said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land."
So we're just going to take a few minutes. This was a first-hand account of a witness that was there during this revival. And I'm just going to ask us all to stand up. And we're just going to spend just 2 minutes or a couple of minutes and just let God start the process, right? The process of anything inside of our hearts that needs to start going from our hearts.